All right. Almost done with the complete Jewish Bible. Can you believe it? Proverbs 29 coming at you. But let's pray first, and then we'll dive into it. Father God, thank you so much for another day. Thank you so much for my friends here that have gathered. And I ask that you bless them with supernatural wisdom and bless the words that I speak, that they may be yours and not mine. And Father, we do love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. Let's get wise. Indeed. Hard to believe. Wow. So much happening soon. I'm a lot happening here. Let's put it that way. I'm going to be changing format here visually a little bit. And so that'll be a lot of fun. Hey, we're going to hope for the best. What I'm having in mind is going to be interesting because it's going to create some more work for myself, but actually still looking for if anyone out there is wanting to volunteer their time for things like video editing and that sort of thing, please do let me know. I would love to not be doing this alone. That would be wonderful, but we'll get there. Yeah. All right. Well, in any event, let's dive into why we're here, which is not to listen to me talk, but listen to me read. Proverbs 29 in the complete Jewish Bible. He who remains stiff-necked after much rebuke will be suddenly and incurably broken. When the righteous flourish, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, the people groan. Very similar to other verses, isn't it? In that same vein. Whoever loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a patron of prostitutes wastes his wealth. A king gives stability to a country by justice, but one who overtaxes brings it to ruin. This is a balancing act. Now this is talking about ruling, not leading, just to be clear. But it's a balancing act, and we need to recognize that it's not an easy one. Verse 5, a person who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his own steps. An evil person's crime is a trap, but the righteous sing and rejoice. The righteous understands the cause of the poor, but the wicked is unconcerned. Yeah, I think a lot of times the wicked is unconcerned part there kind of lends itself to thinking about how they're unconcerned about the poor, but they're concerned about other things. They're consumed with other distractions. Scoffers can inflame a city, but the wise can calm the fury. When a wise man argues with a foolish one, he meets anger and ridicule without relief. Let's go ahead and just highlight it. Very, very common thing. We see this all throughout Proverbs. the message is pretty much the same. Don't waste your time arguing with foolish people. That is just that it's that simple, right? Yeah. Men of blood hate those who are pure and seek the life of the upright. A fool gives vent to all his feelings, but the wise, thinking of afterwards, stills them. If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials will be wicked. And this is a fascinating one too, by the way. This is, I've often wondered if this is sometimes turned around. If all the rulers, officials are wicked, they'll listen to lies, that sort of thing. But yeah, or the will be wicked or are wicked or it's, yeah. But if they listen to lies, then the people they appoint will also be wicked as well. So there's a lot of ways to look at that. I'll just say in our case, elections matter. And we'll just leave it at that. Verse 13. The poor and the oppressor have this in common. Adonai gives light to the eyes of both. We've kind of talked about this a little bit before, but the concept that the system is not rigged. The system is the system. You know, gravity is a constant. You know, we have things about the earth that don't change. You know, it turns out that pretty much without fail, the sun's going to rise in the morning and set sometime in the evening. Pretty predictable. To think that the God is going to bend for one creation or something like that for one or the other, or is getting an unfair advantage to one or the other, is to not understand how this works. You know, the system is not there. The light is just there, right? It's not good or bad for one or the other. It's just up to us to use our judgment and our character to work within the system, knowing that wisdom was there first. So when it comes to this, it's also the light to the eyes thing. There's a couple of different ways that I've seen this interpreted. And I don't know if I 100% agree with all of them, but there's a notion here that you have how the mind works. Light to the eyes is a way of saying thought. It's also a way of saying opportunity. And so to saying God gives opportunities to both the poor and the oppressor, as well as all of us. It's an even chance. There's not a, you know, it's true equality from that regards. There's no, you know, everybody has the same hand that's been dealt to them. And so it's how we use and respond to that. In other words, it's our character that define us, not our circumstances. There's your t-shirt. It's our character defined us, not our circumstances. Verse 14, if a king steadfastly gives justice to the poor, his throne will be secure forever. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame on his mother. When the wicked flourish, wrongdoing flourishes, but the righteous will witness their downfall. this is a hard thing to put in there. It's very, very confusing, isn't it? But it's just a warning when we, I've said a couple times this month, we become what we tolerate. We need to be convicted and be vigilant. While we don't argue with fools, we still fight against tyranny. You know, there's a time to argue and answer, but that's not fighting. You know, when it comes down to it, you know, the thoughts and prayers on Facebook are just as effective as the arguments on Facebook in order to think you are fighting for a cause. You're not fighting for a cause. All right. Do you get that? That you spreading your opinion or just spouting off a bunch of words on Facebook is not doing anything but upsetting people that are just as foolish as you are. That's just the truth. If you are going on and on about how this is right and this is wrong and blah, 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 that is not fighting for justice. That is, in fact, allowing the wicked to flourish because your energy is going to things that will not make a difference and do not matter. And it is just amazing to me how much I'm seeing Christians think that they can be loud on Facebook and that is activism. If you want activism, put your money where your mouth is, or better yet, put your feet where your mouth is. As in, go. Get out, go. That's activism. Go serve people. Go be with people. Go. If you want to win hearts, go win hearts. Don't talk about it and try and convince people. It blows my mind how people think that they're just going to be convinced or they're going to convince people the more they talk about it. And that'll somehow cause them to act and somehow cause that to be a change. What utter complete nonsense. If you really want to win somebody's heart over to your cause, you need to get out and get in a relationship with them and serve them until they come to see that you're right and they're not. Otherwise, all you're doing is proving how wrong you are. And allowing the wicked to flourish. The more you talk, the more the wicked flourish. The more wrongdoing flourishes. And the righteous will witness their downfall because they're too busy yapping. So frustrated with this. So frustrated with Christians that are doing these things. Just stop it. Verse 17. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will be your delight. Without a prophetic vision, the people throw off all restraint. But he who keeps Torah is happy. People don't always think of keeping the law as making you happy. But there is a peace that comes with knowing where your boundaries are. You know, my cats are happier when they know their space. They're not wondering if they're going to step into something that's bad or if they're going to do something wrong. They know where they're supposed to be. That's why they sleep so happy all day long. And they do sleep happy all day long. Verse 19. A slave can't be disciplined with words. He may understand, but he won't respond. All right. I'm doing a talk on this next week, so this is on my brain. What I want you to see here in a modern way of interpreting this, I want you to see this as a mindset. I want you to take a moment and just slam on the brakes and see this not as a circumstance, but a mindset. In the parable of talents, we see three different folks, right? We see a steward, we see a servant, and we see a slave. Which one of those were cast out? The slave. Which one of those two were, say, had their master say, well done? Well, guess what? It was both of them, both of the others. You got two right paths and one that's not right. Yet, I'm seeing people over and over choose the wrong path. They choose to stay a slave. They get so caught up in everything else around them and thinking that they're you know, being taken from instead of giving, and they can't produce, they can only get. That's a slave mentality. That's I will only be able to get whatever I steal, basically. That's a slave mentality. There are people raising their children with this mentality. It's disgusting. A slave can't be disciplined with words. And that's the reality that I have to face here, is that I need to realize that I can't always convince people through my words. Sometimes you just have to go either inspire or just be the rod. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Verse 20. Do you see as someone too anxious to speak? There's more hope for a fool than for him. It's a very fascinating way to interpret that. A slave who is pampered from youth will in the end be ungrateful. So you seen that again? That this is a mentality, not a condition? Angry people stir up strife. Hot-tempered people commit many crimes. The proud will be humbled, but the humble will be honored. The accomplice of a thief hates himself. He hears himself put under oath, but discloses nothing. Fearing human beings is a snare. But he who trusts in Adonai will be raised high above danger. Many seek the ruler's favor, but it is from Adonai that each gets justice. An unjust person is an abomination to the righteous. But he who lives uprightly is an abomination to the wicked. Yeah, this is the unfortunate part. We're not going to be liked for this, folks. We're not going to be congratulated. We're not going to have people say, oh, yeah, you're so right. No. They're going to be just as much an abomination to us as we are to them. Just the way it is. In the midst of saying all this, I had this crazy idea. And I'm going to try and decide very soon if I'm going to actually do this or not. But it's hard to believe we're coming down to the last two. And so I have to get a plan together for next month. And I am trying to decide if this idea has merit or not. And the idea is to kind of do a best of kind of a thing where we're pulling multiple translations and multiple, doing just kind of recycling some old recordings each day. We'll see. It's a very fresh idea because I hadn't chosen a translation yet. So I don't know. Let me know in the comments if you think that would be kind of fun, or if I should wait for another time, or if you have a favorite translation that you'd like me to do. There's a notion of, like I said, I'm thinking about changing things up a little bit, and that might be an interesting way to give myself the time to prep for the kind of things that I want to be doing. And so it's an interesting thought I had in the middle of all that. So yeah, if it's something interesting to you, let me know. Otherwise, you'll be blessed by the best, and there'll be a blessing to all of you. We'll be here tomorrow for a fun proverb, Proverb 30. Always a joy to read that particular one, just because it's such a different pace than the other ones. So always a pleasure. But in any case, I will see you tomorrow. I'll leave you with some time to reflect and give me any comments. You have a favorite verse from today? Have I offended you? I hope. We don't act unless we're offended, so I hope I have offended somebody today. That would be great. I don't want to be offensive, but I still do want to offend people's sensibilities enough to take actions as God would have them act. So if that's you today, right on. If not, absolutely fine. If you agree with 100% of everything I've said, that's also fine. But yeah, let me know in the comments what you're thinking. I will talk to you all tomorrow.